trying hard not to miss you. Lord knows how much I do, and it pulls at my soul.
I'm joined by a wonderful singer-songwriter, Amelia McFall. She's based in London. She's originally from Montreal, and she's going to be chatting to us today. So, very good morning.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
First off, you're in London now, but you're from Montreal. Why did you make the move over to London? Is the music scene's quite different, or was it for work?
Yeah, they're quite different, but I just wanted something different. I got transferred with work, yes, but I came here initially on a youth mobility visa, which allowed me to, you know, see how I liked it, and I loved it, so I stayed. But yeah, the music scenes are quite different. They're both like great, but I think, as I say, the grass is always greener, right? So I wanted to see what it was like. But I think there's also like a big soul blues, the music scene is amazing, so yeah.
For you, Amelia, what is your earliest musical memory?
So it's a combination of things, but the earliest, probably one of the earliest memories would be listening to a movie, the movie I watched when I was a kid called The Secret Garden, and there was a piece of music in it from Chopin. Of course, I can't remember the name of the piece, but there was a classical piano piece in it, and that was a song that I then learned later on piano. But yeah, it was one of those songs that just sticks with you for all of your childhood, and eventually when I got good enough to learn it, I did. But that was probably the earliest memory.
And what about vocalists? What vocalists did you hear that you think have kind of influenced the music that you do now?
Oh, definitely blues. So all blues music, blues musicians. But I grew up listening. My parents played a lot of Van Morrison, Bonnie Raitt, Etta James, Sam Cooke in the house. So that was kind of at home with my parents. But then I kind of, as you know, you get into like the later years, like teens kind of, Alicia Keys, Destiny's Child were a big influence as well on the music that I write now. Adele a bit later on, but I think the earliest forms were kind of, you know, the blues fundamentals and some folk in there as well.
Do you remember the first gig that you did, and was it a solo or were you with a band? Do you remember the first gig?
Yeah, so, I did some, the first gig I did as my own music, I did with two friends of mine, David and Jorge. Back in Montreal, we formed this little band. We actually never got to name the band because it was not a very long-lasting band, but because people moved away. But it was really great. We did a bunch of covers, and we had this, like, I guess this slot at this one venue near school, and it was called Carina Club Lounge. I think it's closed now in Montreal, but we did one of the first meaningful gigs for me was there, because we were able to perform music I'd written as a full band, which hadn't happened prior to that. So it was actually quite nice. Yeah, it was, I think 2010, 2011, yeah. Something around there. Yeah.
So before that, are you actually doing music full time here? Do you do covers as well, and then do originals? Because it's hard work being an independent musician, which I try to explain to people a lot. You know, paying for studio time, recording, everything else. It just all costs money, and it's trying to claw any of that back through Spotify listens. Unless you have like 20 million, it's quite difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's challenging. I don't do music full time at the moment. I work part time in a job outside of that. But I pursue music. I also host. I created I can't speak today. Hello. a platform called Top Floor Tones, which is a platform where I host and invite artists to come perform, so normally two, and then it's a room full of like maybe 20 to 30 people. So I've been running that for about 2.5 years, almost three, which has been great. It's a great way to network, meet other musicians, but also like be able to be in a supportive group of people who appreciate music, but who are also pursuing their own music. So I do that in addition to my own music and recording and writing. In regards to performing, this year hasn't been as performing oriented as last year, but that's because I've been in studio recording what will be my EP that I'll be releasing at the end of the year. But last year I did quite a few performances. It was really great, actually. I like opened for people like Blakey, I'm a Fia, Jesse Malcolm. So I did quite a few gigs last year. It was really great. But this year has been very different.
Songwriting. So how do you start the songwriting process? Are you somebody that's always jotting lyrics down, melodies into your phone, or you just start at the piano, or is it different every time?
No, I wish I could start at the piano. I haven't had access to a piano in ages. It's so different to not have it in your home, you know? But no, I think I'm a good mix of occasionally just kind of humming melodies into my phone on voice memos, but I try to make it like a regular thing that every morning on my bus ride to work, I will mute all social media, mute everything I don't need, and just focus in on writing. So I typically will write for about half an hour every day on my way to work in my like notes app on my phone. And then, yeah, so it's a mix of taking like the voice memos or the musical ideas that I've come up with at home or wherever it may be that I've hummed into my phone, and then taking those lyrics that I've written down and then just kind of merging them together, because I don't always write with a melody and lyrics in mind. It's one or the other. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes you can get a full song out like right away and you're like, well, I didn't expect that. But yeah, normally it takes a bit of chipping away at, oh, what can I fit here? What can I fit there? And how does this work together? It's a 50-50.
Talking about when things come to you suddenly, I've asked lots of musicians this question. Do you ever feel like a song is gifted from the universe, or if you're religious, from God, that you suddenly get this song come through you so quickly onto the page? You're like, it doesn't feel like you've written it. Does that ever happen to you when you're songwriting?
Yeah, sometimes. I've had like one or two songs that will be released later this year that they definitely came to me quite easily. One was written during COVID. I was stuck in Canada for a bit, and it's like simple chordal on the guitar, but the lyrics just kind of came out, and I was like, hey, that could be great. But there's another song that I do feel like, even though I had the chordal structure on the guitar for a long time, and it was like a little loop of notes, when I finally wrote the lyrics, they came in about 10 minutes, everything just came out and it was done, and I haven't modified it or changed it since. So I think that one was quite nice. It's a really beautiful song, so I will be releasing it later this year, but yeah, that one was great.
If only all songs came out that quickly.
Well, there's something to be said about working at a song as well, you know. It's like, it can be really, really yeah, it can be so satisfying when you know you've worked really hard at something and you've chipped away at it for so long, and then it comes out the other side. But I think both are equally as pleasing.
What's your favourite lyric that you've ever written, where you've written it down and gone, that, Amelia, you've written an amazing lyric there. So it's a chance for you to say, yes, this is the lyric that I was really proud of writing.
I have a song, the song that the lyrics came very easily. It's part of that song. I haven't titled it yet, so I can't actually give you a title, but there's a line in it that when I've performed it live, I've been told that line really sticks with people, and I agree. So it's called, well, the line goes, "Don't know how to make space for you, I'm so comfortably lonely." And I think that's, quite poignant.
I'm jotting that down just for future reference. I like to ask artists this. I'll have a whole song by the end of the year with everyone else's lyrics. I am kidding. So I Still Do is out now. It's a beautiful song. How did that song come together? And is it just out? Is it just been released as well?
Yeah, I released it about, it was 12 days ago, 10 days ago. how did that, you know, it's funny. I was trying to remember how, when I wrote it or what exactly it was about. It's very self-explanatory in the lyrics. It's about, you know, if someone's not going to care for you back, then you're not going to have them. But at the same time, there's that like conflict within yourself. But what I think is like something to consider is, you know, once the song leaves you, as many have said, it's no longer your song. It's whatever people make of it as well, and how it touches them. But I wrote it a while back, and I've had the opportunity to perform it live quite a few times before recording it, which I think is quite beneficial, because going into studio was so easy to just record it in one take. Even though we did a few takes, it was just one way through. And Brian on guitar, who was amazing because he's played it with me for a while, so he knew what to do. But every time we play it, it's a little bit different. But yeah, I think there's obviously a lot of gospel and blues influence in it, but there's also a lot of soul in it. But I can't tell you exactly what the what the event was that caused me to write it. I think I'm one of those people that I'm quite like outgoing and bubbly and like, you know, happy on the outside, but when I sit down to write music, there's a whole other side that comes out, and it's quite nostalgic and melancholic, and it's the complete opposite. So when I sit down to write, it's like almost unrecognizable from like the Amelia you might know versus the music I'm producing.
You've got the EP, as you said, coming out later this year. How many tracks you got on it, and what can people really expect?
Melancholic and nostalgic. Uh-huh. And I haven't finalized how many songs, but they can expect heartfelt, soulful, bluesy, some like a few little interlude type ballads. My song Flutter, that I released in November, will be on it as well. They're not like typical songs that are 3.5 to 4 minutes. There's some that are like very short little interludes that are made to be placed between songs. So I think it's about finding that balance of the commercial song, if you want to call it that, versus the like beautiful, like artistic interludes that I've put in between. But we're looking at probably 7-ish songs. So.
And what's the best thing about being an independent artist? Don't think of the struggles, Amelia. Talk about the positives.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, I don't know. I haven't thought about that, no. What's nice about being an independent artist is you get to, I believe, you get to control what you do. So you get to decide, I'm going to do this gig, or I'm going to reach out to this. But even though, if you were signed, I mean, I don't know. I've never been signed to a label, but I would think that if I had like a label, they kind of decide where you go or what you're doing. And I feel like maybe times have changed, right? So it's not the same kind of dynamic. But what I like about being independent is that I can put my foot forward to anyone and any situation and be like, this is who I am, this is what I do, and I want to either perform with you, or I want to be part of this project, or I want you to listen to my stuff. And I think that there's less... there's more fear, but there's less fear, if that makes sense, because you just have to be on it, and you have to, but you can also choose not to be. You don't need to run it by anyone if you want to take a few days or a few weeks to just do your thing. But I think it's the flexibility of being as forward and as gung-ho as possible when you're independent. No. But again, that being said, I've never been signed, so I don't know if you can also have that flexibility when signed, but
yeah,
that's what I've appreciated about being in London as an independent artist who's trying to pursue music, or who is pursuing music, is that I can be as straightforward and honest as possible when it comes to music.
So if you're a musician out there, look out for Top Floor Tones, which is the event that you run for other musicians, because that sounds fantastic. Because sometimes when you're doing your original stuff and you might be in a pub, or you could, and there's people just talking. And I imagine with this one, people actually are listening. So it is very intimate, but they're listening because they're musicians. They want to hear you.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I created it. Because I was, you know, I don't know if it's post-COVID or what happened, but I feel like when you go to gigs now, people are there to socialize. They're not there to listen to the music. And it's only like the first few rows of people that are actually taking an interest to the artist. And for me, I mean, if I'm paying money to go see an artist, or even if I just really like their work, I'm not there to listen to, you know, Jack and Joe's conversation behind me. So the reason I made this, or one of the reasons, is so that people can perform in an intimate space. But it's also, there's something to be said about those intimate crowds as well. Like when there's only about, you know, 15, 20, 30 people tops, because they take place in like residential spaces, it's quite nerve-wracking for the performer as well. I've been told that it's something that we're not used to anymore, because we're so used to performing in bigger spaces where people are talking, or it's like a, you know, the lighting prevents you from seeing the crowd. Like it's completely different when it's essentially in a living room or in a residential space and people are just watching you.
Yeah.
But we also tape and record the event, so the artist can leave with, or not leave with, but have footage of their performance afterwards as well. So that can help them with their social media and any content that they might need to help them as well.
There's nothing like doing a gig where you just come into, it's a very quiet song, you just come into the really important lyric and then you get, can I have a packet of cheese and onion crisps from the back? right in the middle of the song. And it really can threaten, I mean, even though you carry on because everybody's a professional, I know, you know, you get up there and you do your stuff. Yeah. But it's just one of those things you think, oh, why now? Why don't you have to shout that now? Or somebody's laughing really loudly at the back. So this sounds great. If you are a musician, Top Floor Tones, check that out. Amelia, you do have your own website as well as being on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, you're everywhere else.
I'm not on TikTok.
Get on TikTok. I love it. I love it.
I'm working on it. I'm not from that generation, but yeah, fine. I have my website. I have Instagram is the best way to contact me. And Instagram and my website for the most part. Facebook, not so much, but Instagram and website is the main ways to go.
And as I always say, if you do like an artist, go and like their pages. It costs you nothing. You can also do pre-saves or go on to Spotify. Again, if you'll pay for Spotify or Apple Music, that always helps with an artist. But the best way is if they have physical copies of CDs, or whether or not you want it downloaded from places like Bandcamp, because that means a little bit of money is coming back in, and support live music. If you love an artist, go and pay to see them so they can buy themselves more musical equipment.
Yeah.
I like the way you went, yeah. It's been great to talk to you. I know you'll probably have people listening back to this who couldn't tune in so early over in Canada, but we'll say hello Canada at the end of the interview, but they will be listening on the Listen Again, which will be up on the website later. So would you like to introduce your amazing song? You've got a tremendous voice, and thanks for talking to us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Yes, the next song is by Amelia McFall, which is myself, called I Still Do.
Lovely. Thanks a lot. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Trying hard not to miss you. Lord knows how much I do, and it pulls at my soul. I think of you all. This longing, it keeps me wanting you. In time, it don't make a difference. Still feels like yesterday, and I live through the days with memories that we made as our future begins to fade. So I'm not don't wanna love me, baby. the only one that's on me.